Okay, if you like to follow along, you can turn to Psalm 130, the 130th Psalm. Verse 1 of Psalms 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now, I was looking at this about 3 weeks ago. And I just come to this thing. The book of the Psalms is a wonderful thing. Because there's a lot of things in the Psalms. You have in the Psalms the word of God to man. But also in the Psalms, you will find the words of man to God. You have pictures, you have illustrations, you have types and descriptions, and the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of the Psalms. Actually, Christ's words on the cross were recorded in the Psalms. Now, I suspect some people think that Jesus Christ plagiarized the Psalms, but that ain't so. They were prophesying what was coming. They were prophesying who was coming and what was going to happen to him. Because this is the book of God, the whole thing from cover to cover. And the Psalms are definitely that. But what I want to talk to you about here is this psalm, Psalms 130. Now, just a slight bit of background. It says a song of degrees. Now, I don't exactly know what a song of degrees means. I'm not worried about that. But it was sung as a psalm. And here's the thing. They don't know who wrote it. You can read a little bit. Some say it's David. There were others say it was Ezra. Now, I'm here to tell you right now, it doesn't matter because it is the Word of God.
Amen. That's right.
And in this psalm, I think we can see the beginning position of the regenerated believer. Now, and I actually see here one of the beginning actions of a regenerated believer. Then later on it says, we're reminded of iniquities, and then we're also reminded that there is forgiveness with God. And this psalm ends, in verses 7 and 8, with the source of all forgiveness. The source of all mercy. It's the redemption of God by God. I read this psalm and I said, I told Walter on the phone the other day, we talked last Sunday, and I told him, I says, you know, I really want to preach this psalm. That doesn't always happen sometimes, but you know, sometimes you just kind of get a feeling for something, and I really do hope it works out, because this psalm blessed my soul. It really did. Because this psalm, along with a lot of the others, this psalm is full of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it starts off with these words, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Now there's some discussion, there's two or three schools of thought about this whole psalm. Because the question is this a sinner crying out of the depths of sin? Or is this a sinner crying from a newfound knowledge of his unbelief? Because unbelief is a sin. So, I mean, technically, I guess they're both right. The other thing is where they say this might have been written by Ezra, this was Ezra praying for removal of Israel from Persian slavery. They were in captivity. And I can understand that. But to be honest, I mean, when I read this, when I see this, out of the depths I have cried, I see salvation. I mean, this is what I see. Because this is where I was at one time. And when you start putting that word in the end of the chapter here, just the end of, you know, seventh and eighth verse, you start talking about redemption, I start thinking salvation. Because there is no salvation without redemption.
Amen.
Now, I mean, I can understand, you know, where they might get this idea, but don't miss this part. You know, maybe it was Ezra wrote it. Maybe he was talking about God redeeming them out of the hands of Persia, where they had been taken away into Babylon. Then Babylon got swallowed by Persia, and Israel was still there. Maybe so. But don't miss this point. I don't see this necessarily as, well, what they call the depths of sin, because in the depths of sin, just for a minute here, let me look at Psalms 51. You can turn there if you want. Because this is a psalm out of the depths of sin. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. If you remember, Nathan came to David. Nathan was sent to David by the Lord. And he told him there was a man, a rich man, who took a poor man's ewe and didn't pay him for it. Matter of fact, killed the man. And David said, oh, he's going to make it good. He's going to do this. And David looked at him. Nathan looked at David and said, thou art the man. You are the one. You killed Uriah. You took Bathsheba. And this is the psalm after the death of David's child. And after Nathan had come to him, he wrote, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Excuse me. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight. Then he carries on to verse 12, where he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now I see that as a psalm speaking from the depths of sin. The psalmist confessing to God. That's not necessarily what I see in Psalm 130. Psalm 130, I see a little bit more like Psalm 40, also a psalm of David. Psalm 40 and verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I see salvation in those statements, Mason. I see being calling, out of the depths have I cried, to being the newly awakened sinner. a living sinner, a regenerated sinner, a formerly dead sinner, crying out of the depths. Why? First day, he cries unto the Lord. You understand, he's not crying to his neighbors for any help. You know why? Because his neighbors aren't any help. The passage where David wrote in Psalms 40. Do you know, as a believer now, do you know of the depths you were in? Do you remember of the horrible pit? Do you understand having your feet clogged with miry clay? I used to live in Georgia, and when it rained, that clay would get wet, and if you went out in it with shoes on, you come back with 10 pounds of shoes because you could not get that stuff off of you. And if you're in a pit and your feet are weighing 10 or 15 pounds more than they should, guess what? You're not going very far, and you're not climbing out of any pit. And guess here's the other part. There comes a time in a believer's life where he knows it. He knows it. Because this is what the psalmist is saying here. Out of the depths have I cried. You understand? It's not nearby the depths. It's not observing the depths from a distance. You know? Or even up close, for that matter. And here's the other thing. It's not seeing someone else in the depths, although they may be. This psalmist saw himself in the depths. Whoever wrote it, doesn't matter. Because I believe, by the strength of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that this is common to the saints of God. We are told in the scriptures, remember the pit from whence ye are digged. And I'll add here, remember the depths from out of which you cried. The allegory here, when it says out of the depths, is basically like the depths of the sea. That's what it's talking about. You understand, there's a lot of countries and a lot of places for whom the sea is their home. The fishermen, they live on the ocean. They like it. You know, Britons love the sea. Ireland likes fishermen. And I mean, that's where their whole way of life is. But for the Jews, the deep sea was a terror. That's what this is talking about. Out of terror have I cried. It's not common in the fact that it happens every day, but it's common in this way that we were all once in a horrible pit. We were all once in the depths of our own sin. And I tell you this, when you're there, you feel like you're in a pit you made yourself and you can't get out of. You may not know how you got there, even. But here's the thing. Had you ever come to the realization that you knew where you were? In this Psalm 130, I see the salvation of the child of God crying out for deliverance to the Lord. The psalmist is not asking here for a restoration of the joy of his salvation. He is writing of and speaking toward redemption. Redemption. And like I said, he cried unto the Lord, because here's that point. He knew, this psalmist knew, there was no one else to cry to. Or in proper English, there is no one else to whom to cry. What do you mean? Well, when you know you're in the depths, or if you know you're in that pit, in the miry clay, you also know no one else can hear this cry.
Amen, that's right.
You also know no one else can answer that cry. Even if they could hear it. Even if they did hear it. You understand, people have said some things to me. And basically I have to say, and this is what I say to you all and to everyone else, call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because I can't help you. I know you can't help yourself because I was there. But I couldn't help myself, and I can't help you. But I know one who can. I know one who can. Oh my. Because you know no one else has the capabilities, has the power to help you while you're in the depths or you're in that pit. And when you know that, I'm going to tell you this, that is a gracious thing that you know. That is a gracious thing. Because the sinner cries from where he is. But he cries unto the Lord. Not unto the Savior. Although only the Lord can save you. And the Lord may be your Savior. The Lord is the only Savior. There is no other Savior other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none under the name given among men whereby we must be saved. But that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I was starting in this, and you're going back to the early 80s, television and radio was overrun with all kinds of people accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Or accepting Jesus as their Savior, depending upon how it was said. Nobody was confessing Him Lord. Not on TV, not on the radio. Except Henry Mahan is the only one I saw on TV that would talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only man I ever heard on TV or the radio until I heard Earl, you know. This is the whole point of the thing. Only the Lord can save you out of the depths, out of the horrible pit, and out of the miry clay. No one else can. And if He's given it to you to know you're in the depths, that you know you're in a pit, you're going to know only the Lord can save you. Because He will put you there. Well, you were there already. He just let you know you were. You were there before. You didn't know it. Because I'm going to give you this. I got a simple principle. Just a very simple fact that I want to point out here. And I'm going to tell you, this is a little piece of logic that will puzzle the world. Now, I ask you, say, what? Do you apply logic to God? No. I'm not applying logic to God. But I will tell you this, God will apply logic to you. And God will apply logic, His logic, to every one of His children. And guess what? You're going to know it. He's promised you're going to know it. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is I know this now. God has a purpose. You understand? Secondly, God has a plan. And thirdly, God has the way. And this, in this psalm, in verse 1 here, this is the way that He wants it to go. And that's why it goes that way. Because here it is. This would shock the world if they could get it. You will never cry out of the depths until you actually know you are in the depths. Ain't that too simple? No. That's just simple enough. You understand? The world doesn't get this. Because here's the part they don't understand. You'll never cry to get out of the pit until you know you're in the pit. I didn't say it was a secret. I didn't say it was a mystery. I said it's a puzzle that the world doesn't understand. Unbelievers don't get it, and they don't get the point of me saying it either. But this is God's way. He will make it so that the poor, rotten sinner knows exactly, to the best of his ability, where he is and what kind of mess he's in. And, more importantly, what he is. I never understood that I was a sinner until God showed me. Now, I'd heard it said all the time, oh, we're all sinners, brother. I wasn't worried about all of us. I was worried about me. If you ever get to that point, now I'm not talking about I was worried about my sins, what I did. I was worried about what I was.
Yeah, amen.
And what I am still to this day. The old man's in there. But that's the thing. That's the depths here. Out of the depths of my own, put it this way, humanity.
Yeah.
Of my own self. And this is hidden to the lost. It's not a mystery. It's not a secret. It's right here in black and white. The psalmist wrote, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Guess what? In order for him to write that, he must have known he was in the depths. But this blind, the world is blinded to the truth of God, even in its simplicity. It is hidden. The gospel, our gospel, is hidden to them that are lost. Now, I didn't say reprobate. It's hidden to the reprobate too. But see, there's a chance that the lost may be found. Because the gospel was hidden to each and every one of you until he revealed it. The gospel was hidden to me until he revealed it. And it was revealed in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, through the words of another human being to me. And in this word here, written by human beings under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God breathed, but written by men. Because right now, believers, true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, are the only people who are not in the horrible pit right now. Who are not out of the, who are actually out of the depths. Why? Remember the pit from whence ye are digged. Don't go back to it. Just remember it. Like what Walter said, don't hang around the outside and, you know, see what it looks like down there. No, just remember it. Never forget where you were. Never forget who you are. And never forget who answered your prayer out of the depths. This is the state of the unbelieving world, and it's a puzzle they'll never understand unless they are brought to know that they are in the depths. This psalmist, like I said, whoever he was, it doesn't matter. He knew he was in the depths. He wrote it down in black and white. David in Psalm 40, he knew he was in a horrible pit. He knew he was in the miry clay. And David cried unto the Lord and waited patiently. That's the hard part. Waited patiently. But David cried, and what did it say? He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock.
Yeah.
And not only set you on the rock, he established my goings. Now, isn't that great? Isn't that glorious? I love it. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. A new song what? Even praise unto our God. Ah, I'm going to tell you something. That's salvation. That's salvation. And I believe that's what he's talking about. Out of the depths have I cried here. He says what? Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I'm going to tell you something. You know who prays? Verse 2. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I'm going to tell you, the knowledge of sin, the knowledge of the depths, the knowledge of the horrible pit we were in comes from God. Comes from God in this particular purpose. The Holy Ghost who what? Convinces of sin.
Amen.
Because those who cry to God out of the depths are living sinners. And then living sinners are the only ones who can pray this. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. When you cry unto the Lord, pray to the Lord that he will hear you.
Yeah.
Now, and be attentive to your voice. Understand? God hears everything. God sees everything. Because he sees all and he hears all. And I'm going to tell you, being attentive to my supplications is more than just hearing. That's a prayer to God. Get me out of these depths, O Lord. Get me out of this pit, O Lord. Being attentive is hearing and paying attention. This is the prayer of the child of God. Call upon the name of the Lord. It's not just say, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. Call upon the one who can save you and ask him to save you. Be attentive to my cry, Lord. I'm over here. Listen, if you're one of his, he knows exactly where you are. But he still wants you to cry out to him. He still wants you to call upon his name. And he wants you to pray that he would be attentive to you. What did David say? I just talk about, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me. Be attentive to the voice of my supplications, Lord. But here's the point. No, I don't deserve your attention. I'm crying out of the depths. Out of the depths I've cried. I don't deserve your attention. I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve your redemption. I don't deserve your grace. Because, matter of fact, that's the definition of mercy and grace right there. You don't deserve it. But ask him for it. Call to him. Call to him out of the depths. Perhaps he will incline unto you. I like that word. Perhaps he will be attentive. And I can tell you this. If you're one of his, he will.
Amen.
He will. Matter of fact, He already has.
Yeah.
He already has. You never get to this point until he's done something for you. You're not going to get to this point till that Holy Spirit convinces you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment.
Yeah.
Oh, my. See, there's a quandary here. We like to think we're the source. We do. And we got to watch the way we think now. We're not the source of anything. By his grace, we're the recipients. By his grace, we are the ones. We are the ones who have been given his mercy, his love, and his grace. And it starts with knowing that you're in the depths.
Amen.
I mean, that's the first verse here. I love this. This is where, I mean, you know, it's just kind of a strange thing. Verse one, Psalm 130, verse 1, the first part of the verse, out of the depths have I cried.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, that's where you start. It's not where God started. That's where you start. Because up until then, up until you know you've been in the depths, up until his Holy Spirit comes to you and convinces you of sin, you're oblivious to your surroundings, to the depths. You might be depressed. The whole world's depressed. They've got all kinds of drugs out there for it. They got all kinds of psychotherapy. And I'm not denigrating psychotherapy. It may help some people. But you understand, when you come to know you're in the depths, ain't no psychotherapy going to help you.
Amen, that's right.
And you're going to know that. And yes, even the child of God can be depressed. Some of them can be manic depressives.
Yeah.
Up one moment, down the next. But here's the thing. Out of the depths I have cried, what? Unto thee, O Lord. And then, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. You are the only one who can help me. Then this statement, and it just seems like a strange place to put this, but I dearly love this. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But realize what I just said. This psalmist knew he was in the depths, and he knew he didn't deserve the Lord to hear him. If you should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But before they be attentive to my voice. Don't mark my iniquities. Because I'm telling you something. If God, now it doesn't say very carefully, right? All right, you know, it doesn't say notice my iniquities. It didn't say hear of my iniquities. It didn't say count my iniquities. It didn't even say if the Lord should see iniquities. No, it says if you should mark iniquities. Who shall stand? You know what mark means? Take heed of them.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
You understand? I said it, I don't know, it gets a month ago now. You understand? The world thinks silence is consent. Because God doesn't strike somebody down with a lightning bolt, they think he's okay with something. Well, it's not so. I read that in Psalms. It was in Psalms. How about that? There's a lot of things in Psalms. You thought I was altogether such a one as yourself. Just because God's keeping silent doesn't mean he is consenting unto your behavior.
Nope.
Don't ever be fooled by that. See, he knows there's iniquities, but oh, if you should mark them, then who's going to stand? If you should mark also means to guard against them. To take action against them. hedge about iniquities with thorns. And then does he say, O Lord, who shall stand? And the answer is, no one. Who's going to stand if the Lord marks iniquities? Now, realize also, it's the Lord marking iniquities. Don't worry about me marking iniquities, and I'm not going to worry about you marking iniquities. Don't worry about your relations marking iniquities. Or the church, neighbors, co-workers, boss. If the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Yahweh marks iniquities, then it says, O Adonai, who shall stand? That's capital L, little O, little R, little D. I like that. I didn't even notice that. And then it is. Read it somewhere. I thought, my, that's true. If Yahweh should mark iniquities, O Adonai, who shall stand? Now, you want me to tell you a little bit of the difference here? The Lord, that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Yahweh, said unto my Lord, that's capital L, little O, little R, little D, Adonai. The Yahweh said unto my Adonai, sit here until I make thine enemies thy footstool. It's the Father, you don't want marking iniquity. But the one the psalmist is asking is the Christ. You understand? The one we have to deal with our iniquity, thank God it's not the Father. We get to deal with the Redeemer.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he gets to deal with us. And he has dealt with us. O Lord, who shall stand? O Adonai, who shall stand? Jesus, who shall stand if God the Father marks our iniquity? Because what did David say in Psalm 51? Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Yes, it was a sin against Uriah. Yes, it was a sin against Bathsheba. Yes, it was a sin against the people of Israel. But no, it was against God the Father. If God the Father should mark iniquities, who shall stand? And the answer is, like I said, absolutely no one on this earth. But there was one man. Who? Adonai. One man. Now, as far as I know, he's not physically on this earth right now. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And when the Lord marked iniquity, there was none in him. There was none in him.
Amen.
He's the only one who could stand, perfect and holy, the well-beloved Son of God. But however, this is the thing that came to me. Not even the Son of God was exempt when our Lord made him to be sin for us. Now, when the Lord marked iniquity, now it wasn't his iniquity. He did no sin. He had no sin. He didn't have any sin. He didn't have any transgressions. He didn't have any iniquities. He did not have a sinful nature. But when the Lord laid upon him our iniquities, our transgressions, and our sins, he had to die. O Lord, who shall stand? The Lord made him to be sin. He bore in our bodies on the tree his own our sins. And when that iniquity was marked, Jesus Christ died for us. He bore in his own body on the tree our sins. And that iniquity was marked by Yahweh. and was born by Adonai. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit here at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. God manifest in the flesh, the well-beloved only begotten of the Father. He became a man, totally without sin, totally without transgression, totally without iniquity. Yes, and yes, he was made sin for us. He bore our sins in the body on the tree, but he did exactly what the angel told Joseph he was going to do. He came, and what John the Baptist said, he took away the sins of the world. He took them away. How can God not mark iniquity in you, Mason? How can God not mark iniquity in me, or in you, or any of you? Only if Jesus Christ, the scapegoat, on the Day of Atonement, took away our sins. Now, you're not going to know all this when you're crying out of the depths, but it's nice to learn after you're out. When you're in the depths, all you're worried about is getting out of them. Well, when you're in the depths and you know it, all you're worried about is getting out of them. But it's great to know how you got out. Who's responsible for this great salvation? It is the Lord. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God, Creator of all the earth and everyone in it. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Guess what? He ever liveth to make intercession for his people.
Amen.
He liveth, ever liveth, to bring his people out of the depths, out of that pit, out of that miry clay, and he sets their feet on a rock. No, the rock. Himself. Because other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. And he establishes their goings. Ain't that a thing of beauty too? He establishes their goings. What's that mean? He's going to put in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure.
Amen. That's right.
And you're going to work out your salvation in fear and trembling.
Yeah.
That's together. How? Because it's him that puts it in you both to work and to do of his good pleasure. Oh Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? I'm going to tell you who's going to stand. Right here, right now. And you can take this as a fact because it's in the book.
Yeah.
Everyone in Christ shall stand in that day.
Amen.
Because everyone in Christ, that means your iniquities and sins, he, God, will remember no more. They were marked, and they were marked in Christ. And if they weren't marked in Christ, you're a goner. And you never know any of this till you start in the depths. And he brings it to you to cry out of the depths. And you know, we didn't even get to plenteous redemption. That's what I wanted to start with. It's all right. Nothing happens, next week we'll do it. This psalm just kind of grabbed hold of me. Because, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. Why? Because of the one who stood in our place.
Amen, that's right.
What? That thou mayest be feared. What's the fear of the Lord? It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding. And guess what? I was read something that was, I think it was Hawkins said the other day, or if he's dead, he said it 100 years ago or something, I don't know. Anyway, the believer has a fear of the Lord that the world doesn't know anything about, because the believer fears letting down his Lord.
Amen.
The one who paid this price, the one who redeemed us. We fail him daily. But that don't mean we like it. But out of the depths I have cried. And if he's put it in you to know you're in the depths, he's going to answer you. And if you're here now and you believe him now, he already has answered you. But remember, our Heavenly Father, thankful for this time and this place. Please be with Walter as he is preaching your message. Bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as you always have. And Lord, be with us as we fellowship together over this food. And help us to gather again later. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.